Do you have any praise reports?
Rain.
Do we have any prayer requests? Yes, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the panhandle of Texas. And not just there, but Oklahoma and the Great Plains are all really, really dry. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to bring rain to these areas. Father, that these fires will be put out. We plead the blood of Jesus over these places. We ask you, Father, for supernatural healing of their land. And Father, for their safety and for the people that got stranded in Canyon, that they'll be okay. Bring them out unharmed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 5. Says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're going to talk about keeping our eyes on Jesus, lest you faint in your mind. I don't know if any of you have noticed that this world has gone crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And I've run into people that should know better, but they don't. And they say, we're just toast. You know, when you give up hope, you're in a really, really dangerous position. And what happens is if you look at the wrong information, you look at the wrong people, you look at the wrong sources, you're going to have a tendency to just say, well, we're done. We're toast. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to look to the world or look to the government. Or look to anything else. It says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. We're supposed to look unto him. You remember how crazy 2019 was? How crazy 2020 was? 2021? And we just had crazy ever since, haven't we? We're going to get more crazy. We're going to get more crazy. I mean, we're going to have to get more focused on Jesus. Because some of the things, you know, people are giving up. They're looking at it saying, this whole thing is just impossible. We're just done. Well, we're not either. We're not done. Because that's not lined up with the Bible. That's not lined up with God. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. You know, Jesus had to basically push his disciples to get on this ship. I think they seen a storm coming. He had to constrain them. Now, the trip before that that's recorded, that Jesus went on the trip with them. But this time, he told them to go ahead of him. And what he was doing was teaching them some basic laws of faith. See, the first time, Jesus said, let us go over together. So they got halfway across, or however far they got across, they got in trouble and they decided they were going to drown. They forgot what Jesus said. Jesus said, let us go over. You know, I think they could have just kicked back in that ship and enjoyed the waves and let it roll. They'd have made it over there. Because Jesus said, let us go over. Jesus, when he tells you to do something, he's not sending you out there to sink. He's just not. He's right there with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. It's important to look at these things once in a while. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If it tells us that we have a chance to faint in our minds, then maybe we need to pay attention to that. See, Jesus said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us unto the end of the world. He said that nothing shall by any means harm you. He gave us a lot of promises. And for some reason, we get out in these circumstances and a lot of people just freeze up and they say, we're done. We're toast. And they turn around and go back. They give up. Jesus didn't say that. Always remember this. If Jesus points you to go in a certain direction, he's not going to leave you. He's going to be there with you. He's always going to be there with you. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, so we can understand how we're not going to faint in our minds. That verse 3 says, consider him. Consider Jesus. Look unto Jesus, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now look at Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Literally, be anxious about nothing. Do not worry. He tells us flat out, do not worry. And people spend a considerable amount of time worrying. Remember what I said last Sunday? Every time you think you're just thinking, you're actually listening. So when you're sitting there worrying about a situation, thinking about it, what are you doing? You're actually listening. Now, since God told you not to worry, who are you listening to? See? God told you not to worry. So if you're sitting there with worrisome thoughts, you're listening to the devil. Now, say, you get reminded of a certain situation that causes you to start worrying. What should you do? Start praying. Don't sit and worry about that. Start praying the Word of God about that situation. See, the devil, he'll hit you with those fiery darts. You hit him with the Word of God. Verse 7 tells us that we can permit the peace of God to garrison or keep our heart and our minds through Christ Jesus, so we don't grow weary and faint in our minds. We want to have a garrison over our heart and our minds. See, one of the quickest ways to give up is start worrying about a situation. You know, worry is faith in something that may or may not happen. And it's actually the exact opposite of faith in God. You're worrying about something that you don't want to happen. And that attracts, whether people like to admit it or not, there's energy forces in this world, and you're going to attract certain energy forces. You know, if you get negative and you start worrying about something and you start talking negatively about it, you're going to attract that to you. People attract poverty to themselves all the time. People attract sickness to themselves all the time. I remember early on when I was first starting to get a hold of the Word, I sneezed. And this lady said, "You're catching a cold." And I said, "No! No!" Because that was a challenge for me, to not accept negative words. You know, I had to learn how to beat those down, how to stay away from those. You know, people would say, "Don't go outside without your shoes on, you'll catch a cold." You know, there had come a time I finally just said, "You know what, I've had it." I just took my boots off, my socks off, and I walked outside on purpose, in the cold, in the rain, just to show the devil that he was not going to get me sick because I walked outside without shoes on. Interesting thing about people. We've made from the earth. We have a natural connection to the earth. There's energy forces in the earth, and we put shoes on to keep ourselves grounded from that. Look at verse 6. "Be careful for nothing." Literally, don't worry about it. "Renounce all worry. And by supplication and prayer and thanksgiving, make all requests known to God." See how he told us to fight that? He said, "Don't worry, and here's how you fight that. Make your requests and supplications with thanksgiving known to God." So we pray to him, tell him what's bugging us, and it would help us if we'd return his word to him and then thank him for the answer. See, this is how you get out of that worry. You know, it does tell us to cast all our cares over onto Jesus. And that means all of them. All means all. Have you ever been able to fix anything by worrying about it? Now, this does not mean that you just sit around like a slug and not be diligent, not take care of business. You still got to take care of business. You still got to take care of stuff. You still got to plan things out. But if you're sitting there worrying about it, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your energy and you're wasting your health. James chapter 4. Go back over to James. Chapter 4. Verse 7. It said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we submit ourselves to God? By agreeing with his word. That's true Bible humility. When you take the word of God and you say, okay, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's true biblical humility. That's not being arrogant or nothing. False humility is this. I'm just a lowly servant. No, you're not. That's not what the Bible says you are. The Bible says you are a son. It says you are a minister of the highest rank. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're not a lowly servant. You know, I've ran into this, so much of this in the church world, it just drives me nuts. I'll be, regardless of where I'm at, somebody will say, well, you know, we're all just sinners saved by grace. Well, no, you're not. If you're a sinner, we need to talk and you can get born again. If you're saved by grace, you're a saint and you're not a sinner. You can't be both. Now, back at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Right there, he just told us what to think on. Instead of sitting there worrying about some problem, he said, offer up prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and then start thinking on these things. Now, there's only one thing I can think of that is all those things, and his name is Jesus. The Bible does tell us to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. There's something about picking up the word and reading it and thinking on Jesus that changes you from the inside out. It's called life. His word is life and light. But it changes your whole mental situation. You can have a problem. Maybe somebody really bothers you and you go to the word and you don't even have to find word for that particular problem. Just start reading the word and that problem gets smaller. Why? Because you're looking unto Jesus. You know, when you look into the word, you're looking unto him. You're actually looking at him. The Bible tells us in the beginning was the word, and word was with God, and word was God, and the word became flesh, and we beheld and called him name Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from the word. He is the word. So we think on right things. We keep our mind stayed on God. We keep our mind focused on him. You know, that was an interesting thing, that story about the disciples out there on the boat, and they're having a hard time, and Jesus walks out on water. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. So Jesus said, come. And Peter was walking on that water. in a terrible storm. The Bible tells us that he did start looking at the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. That's what most people seem to major on, the sinking part, the losing part. Let's look at the winning part. He was walking on water when he was looking at Jesus. I don't know how far he think. If he got up to his ears or his ankles. But it doesn't matter. It tells us that he cried out to Jesus. And Jesus finished the deal. Try to find victory. Try to find reasons to see victory in every situation. There's something positive about almost every situation. Almost. I don't see a lot of positives about Biden, but he's not going to be around much longer. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, there is something positive about Biden. As long as he's around, Michelle Obama's not. That's a positive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How about that? Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He said, we're going to take those imaginations that are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We're going to cast those down. Take them captivity to the name of Jesus. That's the worry thoughts. Some people say, well, I just can't stop worrying. Then start praying. Well, it's on my mind all the time. Then pray a lot. Well, it wakes me up in the middle of the night. Then pray in the middle of the night. It doesn't take long to cast your cares over onto Jesus and say, you know, I can't figure this out. I can't handle this. I'm giving it over to you. I'm going to get some sleep since you're the one that never sleeps or slumbers. And then rest. And then watch him give you the answer. But we're going to use the weapons of our spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go there. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, he'd stop right there. On that verse, you should circle that verse. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to be strong in yourself. Not one time do you find God telling you to be strong in yourself. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That qualifies everybody. Everybody can be strong in the Lord. Not everybody can be physically strong. Some people are just not physically strong at all. But they can be strong in the Lord. and in the power of his might. And then he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, so you don't grow weary and faint in your minds. That's not right. That's not in that verse, but that's why. Because you don't want to grow weary and faint in your minds. But this is how you stop from having that happen. You know, when I first ran into that, I wondered, how in the world? I want the armor of God. How do I put that on? And I went and talked to a pastor, and he didn't have any good ideas for me. He preached a sermon, but he didn't have any quality information for me on how I was going to put this armor on. And it took a while, but I found out that we put that armor on by getting a revelation of what Jesus did for us on that death, his burial and his resurrection, his passion. We'll look at some of these. We'll go on here. It said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we got some terrible enemies out there, and they're not people. We got some spiritual enemies out there. They're continually bombarding you with bad ideas. So we have to have a way to fight those off. Verse 13 says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How would we have our loins girt about with truth? By having his word of God in us, knowing what he said. See, this is where you find out that maybe mama didn't tell me things exactly the way the Bible said. Maybe my teacher wasn't exactly right. You know, maybe what I heard at the coffee shop isn't exactly true. But when we know the truth, the devil's lies aren't going to have that effect on us. See, that's where when I run into these people that give up, they're believing the lies of the devil because they don't have the truth of the Word of God in them. Some of them were raised in church. But obviously, they don't know the truth or they wouldn't be giving up. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. How would we get the breastplate of righteousness? In 2 Corinthians chapter 21, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Once we know that we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did, now we're not going to be afraid that God is going to punish us for some stupid mistake we made 2 or 3 days ago, or 5 days ago, or 10 years ago. You know, there's people worried about things that they did 10, 15, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Christians. Because they obviously don't understand that they're in right standing with God. It's important to have that breastplate of righteousness on. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, when you get born again, you get a ministry handed to you. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me. But see, one thing about that ministry of reconciliation that we've been given is when somebody showed it to us, that brought peace to our hearts. That brought peace to our minds. You know, it brings peace to you when you know you're not going to go to hell. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. How are we going to do that? Well, the very first thing to do is look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Find these different things that he did for us in his passion, his death, burial, and resurrection. Find these new creation realities and see what he did in his grace, and that'll cause faith to happen in your heart. And when you've been meditating on his word, getting it in you, that'll give you the courage and the ability to speak those things that aren't as though they are. People a lot of times won't talk that way because they don't believe that way, because they don't believe that they're in right standing with God. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people sitting in church every Sunday that it's talking to them, it's almost like it's a flip of the coin whether they're going to go to heaven or not. One pastor actually said, well, nobody knows that. Serious. A couple of friends of mine have been going to church. Well, one good friend of mine had been going to church at this church for a long time. And then she started hanging around a friend of mine who is a pastor at an Assembly of God church. And she was asking him questions. And finally one day, you know, he said, just go down there and ask your pastor if he knows for sure whether or not you're going to heaven or not. So she went down there and asked if he knew for sure. And he said, well, nobody knows that. She went straight back up to the Assembly of God and got born again. See, we got to have that assurance in our heart. You're seriously just wasting your time if you don't have that assurance in your heart. If you don't have that assurance in your heart, you're sure to faint. You're sure to grow weary in your minds and faint. And he says, by this shield of faith, that's how we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What do you think of when you think of a shield? Bronze, brass, wood, something like that? But it says you quench these fiery darts with that shield of faith. That means you put the fire out. I think it's a watery shield. We're washed in the water of the Word. I can't prove that one way or another, but how else are you going to put a fire out? Then you go down here. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, that's that assurance in our hearts that we're going to heaven. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible told us if we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus back to life, we confess Jesus to be Lord, we shall be saved. That's our helmet of salvation. We know that. We got that. There's no arrows going to penetrate that. Now, if you get lazy and don't take up that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when those thoughts come, if you don't do something about those thoughts, you're going to get weary. You know, you can worry so much about something, it'll make you tired. We don't want to be that way. We want to be strong. We want to be vigilant. We want to be bright in our minds. We want to be ready to roll. The crazy train's coming. But we're not supposed to focus on the crazy train. We're supposed to focus on Jesus. Amen? And then we can have fun when the crazy train actually hits. And we can prosper. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for every word you've given us, for every bit of revelation that the Holy Spirit has got into our hearts. Father, we thank you for all the armor that you've given us. And Father, we thank you that no matter what happens in this world, we belong to you, we belong to your kingdom, and you will see us through it. You will take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.